The following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
The official Impractical Joker Podcast.
Oh,
that's the theme music again. I love
you
it.
You like the theme music, don't you, Shay? New theme music. We got a new host, a new theme music. We're sprucing up the pod. That's me. I'm Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I'm Shay DeBerry.
And this is the official Impractical Jokers podcast. Very excited to have you here. Great episode coming out strong. Episode 2 of season 9.
Yeah, welcome to Murr's Bachelor Party, everybody. How was that?
Huh? Pretty insane.
I loved it personally.
I mean, yeah, me too. I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to all the dirty deeds that happened later on in the punishment. But we'll jump to these challenges. And we were just talking a second ago about, you know, we touched upon this last time about like what we filmed during COVID and what we filmed before COVID.
Yeah,
and this episode has a nice mix.
Exactly. Yeah. So this first bit was actually, I think it was one of the first ones we shot during COVID. And it was like, again, another one that we just thought was like pretty COVID friendly. This is, of course, with our photographers outside at, is that Snug Harbor, Casey?
That is Snug Harbor. Yeah. And Q comes out right away and he's like, Staten Island, this is what I want people to think of. So funny fact, I think I may have mentioned this before because we filmed there a good amount and the Joker's Museum. I don't know if any of our listeners had been there. I think a lot have. The Joker's Museum was at Snug Harbor. Oh, Q crushed the eggs.
That's where I had to lie to a bunch of kids and say there were turtle eggs about to hatch. And Q smashes them on his head and smashes their dreams.
And then, yeah, I think there's been some other stuff we've done there for sure. All types of like galas and things that we've been there for. You know, the Jokers have been honored on Staten Island a bunch of times because they're like kind of local legends. But I used to work at Snug Harbor and cut all that grass. And
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that whole area there like kind of didn't exist. That's like kind of where I would like eat lunch in like an empty field and then they pull all that stuff there, but it looks like it's been there forever. Well, there's a building in the background that had been there for a long time and that was like dilapidated and they like cleaned it all up. It's beautiful.
Snug Harbor is huge, Casey. You had to like mow the whole, not every.
Yes. Every inch of grass. That place is huge. And so we have like riding mowers. If you want to think of a good punishment, it's like be in high school and sit on a riding mower all summer.
Farmer tan going.
You like my complexion? I love it.
It was so bad. Like I would weed whack and I would like you know trim bushes and stuff, like all kinds of stuff. If you know who I am, you know that that doesn't seem like it's in my wheelhouse. But I learned it all.
Yeah, that seems like a rough job. A lot. This job's a lot better. You get to try to figure out how to you know embarrass your bosses and stuff on TV. What kind of crazy stuff we can make them do. I like this gig a lot better than doing the ride.
Definitely. Fun, real quick fun fact is I did that for 3 years, 3 summers. And Joe Ambrosio didn't have a job. He needed a job. So I said, hey, come work here. He quit after 1 day. He worked 1 day and didn't come back. That's how tough it was. That Joe Ambrosio couldn't even handle it, folks.
He's got a white eyebrow and a white glove. That's our Joe Ambrosio.
That's him. But yeah, this is beautiful. What a great place. And Joe Papio is back again to loan us the cameras and give us some credibility.
That's right. That's I Rock the Shot, right? That's his, his Insta handle and stuff. I mean, that guy, you see him, he pops out in Q's turn there as the paparazzo for Q or his former assistant. Papio's been on tour with the guys a bunch. Again, like if you check out his Instagram and stuff, you can just see a bunch of photos of the guys all around the world, right?
Right.
If you've been on the cruise, you've definitely seen Papio on a cruise.
Definitely. Yeah. And I honestly, like him doing a little bit is like, just that's the way that this kind of challenge should always be. Like a little quick Papio pop-in. A Papio pop-in is what we call it.
Yeah, a little pap-in. We need a pap-in. Yeah, I mean, he's our photographer. Anytime we do this photography bit, we need him to give us the green light and his cameras. So yeah, thank you so much, Joe Papio, for doing that. And I mean, I love Q's turn here. I mean, yeah, I mean, aside from him talking about how this is better than Versailles, which Sal kind of swats down there. I mean, You're here, which means you haven't Googled me, was an all-timer. I really like that line.
Paparazzo.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I just recently, this is such a tangent, but I recently watched like the Britney documentary. So it's very fresh in my mind that I'm mad at the paparazzi. So when they said that, I was like, oh.
Hey, I haven't forgiven them for Princess Di, man.
I'm with you right there.
We got to take them down a notch. But then I really love also this, the ghost blinked was a fun part of that.
Very fun. And a great refusal, which was like the ghost looks great, you not so much, is a pretty that's a good in the moment refusal. That's nice.
I thought Q was not going to make it through there when I saw that there was like a young attractive person in there with him. I'm like, the guys are going to make him say something. He's not going to want to say it. He's going to get embarrassed. It's kind of his weakness a lot of time. Like he,
yeah, it's true. Yeah. I would say that if at the top of it he said, say this, the ghost looks good, you don't. But they were turning the screws for a little while. You could tell she was getting upset. She was like, are you kidding? Like she was, which I love. I love like, you know, a Mark, as we call it. Like I love a Mark that kind of gets a little like vocally upset. And
you can even tell she was like fed up with like his BS photography skills. She's like, all right, I'm basically going to start directing this. And the guys played into this and like just made him cue the most like obsequious guy in this challenge. It's really fun.
Yeah. Shay, was this like a, like in terms of like the COVID shoots, this was like a pretty relaxing one in terms of like, you're at Snug Harbor in a beautiful environment and the guys are like just taking photos of people, right?
It was more relaxed than most locations because we're outside, but we still had this huge tent. Right. Like a lot of people don't know, this day we had a tent company come in the morning of to build a tent, but they were 2 hours late. So we were actually like at least 2 to 3 hours late in shooting this bit.
Wow. I actually came to set this day.
Yeah, you did. That was one of your first days back on set.
Yeah. I forget why exactly. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Casey,
that's why. I forgot. I just came to see you. That's right. I didn't even know we were filming.
Well,
I
just saw your sister.
I have you on my find my friend on my iPhone, and I just stalk you.
So we need a new tent guy. Anybody? Any fans? If you have a tent, you want to come meet the Jokers? Let us know.
we need a new tent guy
next season.
We're gonna get so many tent requests. 10 people. So many 10 people.
It was so crazy because it was like this dad, and it was either the dad and the uncle, like the dad and the son, or like the uncle and nephew type of thing. But they looked like they had like a rough night the night before. And like, I was like, okay, cool. They're still partying. And I love it.
I always love that we order from the restaurant that I used to work at, which is so funny because we're already at a place I used to work at. And then we always order Marie's Gourmet whenever we're like shooting in Staten Island because they're good at like big orders. And so it's nice. Like I get a little, that was funny. Cause like I'm working and then I'm at the job I used to work at. And then the food came from the place I used to work at. So it's a trifecta.
That's great, man.
So Joe's turn, we got the hat and glasses. Amazing.
A real Elvis Costello look, I feel like.
Yeah. He looks good. The white hair that's coming out on the sides was really popping.
That's like if the Gattos never left Italy. If he was like from like Florence or Venice, maybe, I could see Joe wearing that all the time. That's like a very European Gatto look.
Yeah. Drinking non-alcoholic wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love also the line that, you know, the glasses are fake, but the hat's prescription.
Loved it, man. I mean, this whole turn, I mean, Joe's cracking me up. For the kids out there, a fart knocker. Mm. That's a term that I think was mostly in the 90s. Mm-hmm. A bit of insult. You know, the guys brought it back here. It's just kind of like, how would you say it? What is a fart knocker?
What is the etymology of that? Anybody? Shay?
I don't even know what a fart knocker is.
I feel like it's
from Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because what, like, you know, a fart, right? Obviously, we know what that is. Yeah. But then to knock a fart.
Fart knocker.
Yeah, one knocks farts.
Maybe it's a maybe person. Yeah, go on, Shay.
I knock your fart? I don't know. Like, you fart, I don't, a fart knocker?
It's probably just like, you know, silly words.
Maybe it's like a competent. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. That's good. That's the best I got.
We
got
to research that.
Fart knocker.
Yeah. I mean, that coupled with Reek, love calling Gatto Reek there, goes well, pairs well with fart knocker.
This was a packed turn, you know, as we say. Like it's just so, there's so much going on. Like even, here's what I love about Joe. Like Joe has this ability to be like, they say something like, ask the guy if he could, you know, get his hand and pull out one of the fish. And Joe flips that to, you think he could barehand the koi? You know, like, That's so funny. Like that he figures out a way to like, you know, gattasize it and turn it into bare hand Akoi.
There's always that specificity to it, to Gatto, that I like. That's from his old improv chops. He always tries to get very specific with whatever he says, and it always makes things funnier, I think.
I agree. That's like a special ability he has, that he could you know, kind of run it through his brain and make it come out even funnier.
Yeah, it's great, man. Yeah, no, I loved his whole turn. And same thing. I mean, this whole challenge, I'm a big fan of the model photography one over here. But Murr's great. This whole like side saddle running next to the Mark, who's like galloping through like,
so funny.
Versailles, our Staten Island Versailles over here.
The Greek god in the bald spot. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So fun. And then Dan Cast emerging from the hedges.
Yes, Cass.
How long was Cast in the hedges? Do you know, Shay?
Cast was in the hedges for a good 15 minutes. But I think he liked it.
He's so game. Like, all right. So in this one, you don't really get to see him, but I think some of the super fans would know who Dan Cast is. He's been a priest. He's been a lot of different things.
And if you can't picture him, he's like the brawny paper towel guy. Just picture that.
He's like prominent in Murr's Punishment, where he's closing laptops. He's like there. He's just the best. And this is something that, like, they didn't tell him to go slow with the water bottle. He just like had the instinct to pull it back. And I think that might be my favorite moment of the entire episode is when the water bottle like, you know, retracts slowly. It's so funny. It's such a small detail, but it's exactly what I find funny. I texted him immediately.
Dan Cass's comedic timing is always on point. Dan Cass is funny. He's funny as hell. His stories are crazy. Yeah. Dan Cass always has stories, by the way.
Yeah. He came in a little later in terms of like the three of us have been here on the show longer. Dan came like what? What do you think, Shay? 4 or 5?
He was season 4.
Season 4? Yeah.
And season 4.
I mean, there's no looking back. It's just, he's such a fun addition.
Yeah,
what a lovely, lovely guy.
And he can dunk a basketball. Not anymore, but he has in his lifetime. So you gotta give credit where credit's due.
I think that's why he got hired.
Yeah, I think so. That was, you know, definitely part of his interview. It reminded me though, do you remember when Sal did his bog monster punishment?
Yeah.
And another bog monster came up at the end
to
like mess with him. That was Jay Miller in that bog monster suit. Yeah. But he was in that bog for like an hour.
Yes.
Basically, because he had to wait for the tour to come up.
Oh, I felt so bad.
So he had to be in there before Sal got in there. So like nobody saw him. Yeah, he was in that hot, disgusting, dirty swamp, like longer than Sal was for his punishment.
When you have to be on deck for a bit, it can be uncomfortable. Like, you know, like our buddy Megan Rico had been like on the side of bits before. And we literally had a greased up boy.
A greased up boy that was watching Homeland all day at the turquoise ring punishment. I think we've talked about before, but I mean, again, that the guys are selling a turquoise ring. Eventually Q sells it to his pizza place, but there was bits that the guys had that they wanted to do. And some bits they never got to. And one was having a greased up boy who was an 18-year-old man.
Who's just a boy and it, like, he's a man, like a 20-year-old, like, you know, I'm 35. So I'm going to say a 20-year-old kid who was in a Speedo. He had not been greased up yet, which is nice. Like if we greased him up like preemptively, but he was down. He was in a Speedo with like a robe on all day, sitting watching Homeland while like every production's running around, like getting like the heat lamps going and stuff.
And he was supposed to run into the room, grab the ring, and the guys had to catch him, like just a greased up guy. That would have been the bit. But it was going so well. And the guys were like, Murr and Joe were laughing so much. They forgot about the boy. So the boy never made it. He just sat there and he got paid for a day to just watch Homeland on his iPhone.
I love that. That's so funny. Like, you know, the fact it got cut too, if he had done it and got paid, that would be one thing for sure. And he'd be like, people would be like, you know, on TV. But I think it's even funnier for him to be like, I was supposed to be a greased up boy. I sat around watching Homeland. I got paid and I never got used. Actually, we should turn that into a Joker's bit. Like, how long will somebody sit around and not get used?
Oh, that's good.
I mean, who doesn't want to be lubed up watching someone get paid for it?
That's
that any day. Come on.
Who doesn't want to?
I mean, the funny thing to me, though, is like, how many fans say like, oh man, I wish I was on set. I wish I got to see like everything like before it gets cut out. Yeah. This kid was on set. They usually get offered like headphones and stuff. They could watch what's going on the other monitors. And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to watch Homeland. Over here.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Selling a ring? Nah, I'm cool.
When I had to do like one of the first times I was on the show is when I did the drums for Sal at Sam Ash. And that was similar where, I mean, it was definitely not being greased up or sitting in a bush, but I just had to sit with the drum until they told me to like sneak in. Cause they, you know, in between they wanted to like, you know, let it not happen one after another. It got cut that way, but there was probably like 5-10 minutes in between each one. So I just had to sit there with the snare drum and then like sneak in and do a rim shot.
Yeah. The cameos on our show, you just have to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And like, it's, again, we're just not a normal TV show. Right? We're doing all this stuff in the public. So you're just like, sometimes like sitting in like a closet in a supermarket or something waiting to pop out, but you can't hear anything. And you're just like meditating or whatever. And then you hear like, go, go, go. And you have to like jump out onto the floor, do your rim shot and leave.
I think we've even like put Rob Emmer into the Fat Crow outfit and not used it. Like we put him in makeup and then
He's at every bit. Oh,
he's there every single day on set.
Yeah, either Rob or Roy Emmer's there, ready to pop out for sure.
All right, and then we got Sal's turn, and it's so funny watching him try to use a camera. He's so bad at technology that he's like, "Wow, this is fancy."
It's great. I mean, I love all of it. This turn was packed, man. This turn was tough. I'm surprised he got through.
I agree. I was just about to say the same. I agree. Like, I mean, starting off like with he, him, fat and jazzy.
Great adjectives for Sal. I don't think he's that fat personally, but I love it. You know, the guys are always going to make him feel that way.
Or, Shay, do you remember what happened when Q was feeding this to Sal?
Do you want me to lie? Do you want me to tell the truth?
Truth. Hit us with the truth.
No, I was probably bothering Dan Cass.
The truth. All right. So what happened was, and this happens once in a while, Q couldn't get out he, him, like, you know, and a fat and jazz. He kept saying like Faz and Jad and Fatty, or like, you know, Faz and Jad and Fazzy. Like he just like, it was like one of those things, and he kept taking the line over and over again. And Sal had heard it now like 3 times. But like, you know, then he finally got it, you know, nice and clear, and they moved on, you know. But it's funny when like a moment like that happens. And then, because I was there, and you probably see this constantly, Shay, because you're on set every time. But you see someone make a mistake and they try it again, you know, it again and again. And once in a while, we keep it in. Like there was an intro where Sal couldn't get the line, and Gatto just kept it all in.
Yeah,
it's usually Murr, but I do remember that Sal. But it's usually Murr.
It's usually it's almost always Murr.
I want to say it might have happened this episode too. I'm not sure, but I want to say it happened this episode. But it's usually Murr.
In the next bit, he had the thing where he's like lit. You know, he says like lit. I think I wrote that intro, and I remember like taking liberties with it. And usually, like they change when we write an intro, they usually change it and make it their own. And that one, they like kept all those words in, like lit and, you know, like these Looney Tunes.
Cartoon gestures. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fun one. Oh, but for Sal, yeah, I mean, that the pronouns are tough, but the next thing,
I know,
hoping you'd be completely shaven is not a weird thing to say to a guy that showed up. That's a normal thing, right, Casey? If you go to a shoot and someone's like, oh, you have stubble, like, all right, I thought you're going to be clean shaven for this one, whatever. So it's completely like, I love when the guys shaven. Do that. So it's like you take a thing that's not a big deal to say to a specific type of person, this like a guy, not weird to say that. Saying that to a woman, I was like almost like, did they have to bleep that? What does that mean?
Like, and what did Sal do? That was key.
Made it better.
The little hand movement.
The hand movement for the head. So he still said the line the guys gave him, but the genius move of just that little thing of like,
just that like,
I thought you towards your head.
I thought you'd be completely shaven. And he just puts his hand like that. And then it allows it. It makes it not creepy. It makes it not dirty. And I think that's like really, that's like, you know, that's season 9 now. They're getting good. They can, you know, and then you're not going to get Sal.
Yeah.
And when he goes, hey, you know, like Q's like, oh, you know, Siri, fire bald model or fire model. And then Joe's like, fire bald model. And Sal laughs. It's so good. It's like, I love when they pile on and like, you know, it's like that true improvised nature of like this. No, actually make it this. You know,
it's great, man. I enjoy it. And but like, how bad does modeling sound like it must be? This woman didn't bat an eye at all. She's like, yeah, I guess that person got fired, whatever. Oh, eat grass. Yeah, I've been asked to do that before. No big deal.
I know. I mean, I've been on some, like, you know, just in the small acting experience I've had, like I've had some, you know, bad things, like where it's like you're in the cold or like, I had to do a pool scene, and it was like November. They had kept the pool open. And the pool water was, you know, was actually warmer than the outside temperature, but like, it's brutal, but I've never had to eat grass. That's crazy.
Especially without getting paid extra. You got that in your contract. You always get paid extra to eat grass.
You know, I noticed it's, you know, I don't know how to discuss this, but you know, some of this stuff is in the longer cut. So right. if somebody's listening to this podcast and they watched like a rerun of it, yeah. they might not have seen the LCI, which we call the long cut.
I don't know what it stands for. Long cut iteration sounds good to me.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so that's, that would be cut out the, that section.
I know Dan Cast is also in that LCI. Huh? Bush. Yeah.
That's LCI. That's my favorite moment of the show.
Yeah. That sucks.
You know what? F this show. I say on the podcast.
Maybe not all of it, but part of it is definitely.
Well, you know, it's to reward the super fans that watch it the first time.
It is, yeah. You gotta at least DVR and watch it, you know, with all the fun footage in there. So don't wait for reruns, fans.
Who's not gonna get cut out is Bridget.
no, Bridget won't get cut
out.
Oh
my God.
It's funny because we have a producer, Bridget, so it sounds legit. Like Sal's like, yeah. Oh, this producer Bridget's gonna come out. It's Cato as Bridget, which is I'm not positive if that's a name that a lot of men, like Casey is a boy or girl.
A unisex name. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Bridget's pretty squarely, Irish.
But I'm into it. I don't know. If I have a boy, yeah, it's fun.
A Bridger. Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. I can't believe Sal got through that turn. I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised. It was great. And then just diving into this next one, the Out of Tune, where the guys play kids TV show producers. I really enjoy anytime the guys are going head to head with two terrible ideas that the other guy made for them, and they just have to make the best of it. And like the illustrations are great. There's so many great artists that we work with that get to do this. And it came out really well.
This is a nice mix of a few different challenges that we've done, because it's got elements of log lines, which is like where they read a bunch of different TV log lines. Uh-huh. And it's got elements of like, you know, the cologne, like where we did like crop dust, where there's like art attached. Originally, I think it was just supposed to be art and the name of it. But then I think Murr was like, oh, we should also all, you know, write each other's log lines as well, like for the thing. And so that's really fun to like flesh it out with more, because I think that log lines one is a favorite. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like one that like, you know how like a lot of the fans love Cranjus McBasketball, like with the different names. Mm-hmm. It's like a fan favorite. I hope that like log lines would be too, because that one cracks me up. The way they read them, like they cold read it and it's for the first time, you know, and they laugh. That's a fun one.
The Amazing Tomato Boy still always gets me.
I know.
Chilling with Mr. Broadway. There's some really, I can't wait for one day. There's a show that was pitched as a joke on Impractical Jokers. It's going to happen, right? There's a million TV channels, streaming channels.
Yeah. There's been stuff in the past, like inventions, like people have hit me up with inventions that like the you know, the ones that we've made, like even like maybe even toys. Right. And they've been in me. I'm blanking on it. It's definitely not Chinese spray, but maybe it is.
But yeah, I mean, I love, like you saw it in the room, right? With like Camp Bears, the kids like, I might watch that like immediately. It's just like, that's a show I could get into. I know that
kids
art was
by,
Oh, Christopher Sorrentino. That's the one artist. I don't know all of the artists on here, but I know Chris Sorrentino did that one. He's done a bunch of stuff for the show in the past.
Well, what else has he done?
The Super Live Adventure podcast.
And what else has he done?
He's peed on Sal.
There you go. He does art. He does a podcast, and he will also pee on Sal at the beach.
Yeah, he did that. He definitely peed on Sal.
So in the quartet.
Triple threat. Art. Podcasting and urination. What a guy.
Probably just one actual threat. It's one actual threat and then two talents.
Definitely.
But yeah, I agree. I know I was going to say, like, what I love about stuff that involves kids, like a TV show for kids, is that people get so invested. Same with like the kids' toys. People are like, I don't want my kid having this, or like, I don't want my kid seeing this, or I don't think that's appropriate for children. And this is a great example of that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And especially like this next one, with one that Murray was pitching out there, Rate My Mom.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Was one that you say it quickly and everyone's like, what the hell did you just say? And you're like, rate my mom, R-A-T-E. And they're like, oh God, okay, sure. We'll do the art for that. But that was one that was always need to over enunciate that one.
We also made a lot of these, like the guys had a lot, you know, and us had like a lot of ideas that were like, let's make a bunch, like art made a bunch just in case. And
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll read one for you right here. There was Queen Age Cute Ant Nympho Turbos, where an evil queen, I think that's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pun, stretched pun, an evil queen with a magnifying glass trying to burn four realistic ugly mutant ants with green bandanas on their heads. A very attractive redheaded nymph in a maroon robe yelling from a hole in a tree, were the O-Turbos or Turbo Power. So that is just what the art direction would have been for that one. It never got drawn up, but basically that was like how the guys wanted to describe it to others, to the artists rather, so that it would then get put out into the world that way. Mm. Yeah, there's some really good ones. There's some case, we can't say them all because in case the guys want to do them again.
Right, that's true. I know
there, because the artist made some that were in the cut, but I know there is this one right here. I wouldn't mind you reading for me, Case.
Wait, which one?
No, take your pick.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, one I had that was really simple was Mark who moved to Boston. And it was like just the kind of a boring thing. And it's just like the description's like a 30-year-old man in a sweater, hands in pockets, Boston landmarks in the background. And I just like one that's really boring. Yeah. And also, I had a friend, Mark, who moved to Boston. So anytime I could throw an homage to a friend. Yeah. Another one that I like that came close, oh, maybe they might do it, I don't know, I'll just say I don't care, is Chess Boys, which was just an animated real-time chess games. So it'll be like 30 minutes of like as much of a chess game as possible. So I like the boring route. I think like sometimes it's not, it doesn't pop as much, but it's just so boring.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, maybe that was the inspiration for the Queen's Gambit. I don't know.
I think it was. A lot of people think it was.
So maybe we have already made a show that became a hit with our pitched ideas that didn't even make air.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many good ones in here. Then you go to the next turn with Sal and Q, STFU Mum versus Grim Grab.
Yes. Immediately the woman's like, please don't have a show where you're like telling women to shut up. Yeah. Shut the F up, which I, you know, again, it's like, it's a perfect thing. It's like it's a kid's show, any show really, but a kid's show is like, you know, starting them young on misogyny.
Yeah. And so also, you know what, I'll say this too, Case, this just reminded me and talk about this. This was the last day before we stopped filming in March, March. This was on March 12th last year. This was the last bit that we did.
Okay. So this is so funny. It's just interesting you bring it up because I have like a visceral moment of talking with the crew, and we were all like, because we were kind of like, we're going to go until we officially get shut down by like, you know, the city, because we didn't know what this would be like.
Right.
And I remember us talking about it and being like, I think things are really going to change. And then flash to now, or flash to like even just a few weeks later where, you know, everything just shut down, or not even a few days later.
The next day, literally the next day.
Yeah. And it's just fascinating that that's the moment before that happened. And I remember like, there was this sort of like, there was something in the air like that week, because there was a lot of places that were like one by one kind of closed down. But it was interesting that our show like continued. And even then we were trying to do things that were like, you know, groups like this that are a little bit spread out, you know, even though they're sitting next to each other, there's some distance. We knew right away to do that. It's just, it's just so interesting that this season is going to be mixed like between pre and post. And it's just like, I don't know. It's landmark in my mind. Like what other show has this and can have this?
Yeah, because we're just out filming with the general public, right? And so it's like, you know, you always say like our show is kind of also like a time capsule of New York in a way.
Yep.
We've been on now for 9 seasons. So it's like you go back to the early seasons and you just see like different like fashion trends on people. And, you know, the guys too, I mean, their look has changed a lot over 9 years for sure. And yeah, this season, I think, again, like, you know, you're going to like last episode, you see some masks already in the grocery store. You catch it a few other times during it. Like I said, we try to film the bits that we've shot during the pandemic without our marks wearing masks, but there's a lot of things we have to do to get that to feel like a comfortable situation for people. And it's a lot of testing. It's a lot of safety measures like that, doing safety checks, temperature checks, all like that before they come into the room. But yeah, this was the last one before we broke.
Shay, you remember what our second meal was?
Oh yeah, my favorite. pizza.
That's right. It was communal pizza. It was open boxes of like communal, like just take a slice, everyone. Which is like so funny that like, you know, that's should be normal, you know, but like we've been dealing with like, you know, different times. And it's like, it's funny though to think, you know, like everything, every aspect is changed.
Yeah. We're not playing any games at the buffet anymore. We're not taking food from people's plates anymore.
I don't think a buffet is going to exist for a little while.
Yeah. Right.
More pizza.
I'm not too disappointed. A buffet buffet is where I make all my mistakes.
I mean, just keep going up. They're delicious. I miss the Sizzler. I don't think they've been around for a while, but I used to go all the time as a kid.
Wow, the Sizzler.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love those guys. Bring them back. But, you know, that's going to be a tough one.
We were even talking about in the office, even just in the office, like I had come back from lunch with like just a bunch of like fried chicken from this place called Fuku that we loved that was down by our office in a financial district. And me, Joe Ambrosio, and Megan Rico were like basically passing around one piece of fried chicken, like biting off different sections of it because it was so good, just to share. I mean, it's like that's disgusting. What, like,
yeah, you know, just chain chicken, just like
at any time in your life, at any time in human history.
Yeah. Oh man. At different times, man. But yeah, this. Sorry to jump back to the bit that we were shooting with.
Hell yeah.
STFU Mom and Grim Grab. Grim Grab's winning that. But I will watch Grim Grab all day, all night. That show has to get made. Can we make that happen? Can the guys make this happen now?
I think Q might love Grim Grab now so much that he might just take it with him. He's owned it and it's his now. And he left being like, I love Grim Grab. You guys gave me a layup.
Dude, how good are the marks reacting to this? That the guy called it out perfectly when Q's talking about Grim Grab and he's talking about, you know, he eats kids, both good and bad. And the guy's just like, wait, he has no moral compass? Like, what is the point? It was like we were getting like film school critiques from these marks. They were fantastic.
Yeah. It was pretty solid. Yeah. Good bit. I wonder if, I hope we get to bring back cartoons. We should do that again. But now moving on to the old punishment here. So we open the season with My Dog After Your Dog, which we were like, network's going to let us open with that?
Yeah.
And then so the second one is Catheter and Murr's Penis.
Yeah. This is very unusual, I guess. Like, again, I mean, just in terms of thinking about, like, all right, like I remember we can watch the bits, right, Case? Like we can watch it from home.
Yes.
Like via Zoom, right?
Yeah.
And so we're watching that bit via Zoom. And I forget what happened, but my wife asked me something because it didn't look like I was working. I was just kind of like watching TV. So she's like, what's up? I was like, oh, sorry. I got to be paying attention. Murr's about to get a catheter. And she's like, wait. I'm like, no, yeah, he's about to jump on a zip line. She's like, wait, go back. Your boss is like getting a catheter put in and jumping on a zip line. I'm like, yeah, that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, I don't know how to say this. This is like for our inner circle here. But when the guys come up with punishments like this and we talk them out, of course, there's always a little bit of like, is this going too far? But then after the punishment, Murr is like so happy that we're like, this is why we pick these punishments. He's like, he goes, oh, that was really good. That was a really good one. It's so funny because like, and the guys know that. They know like, oh, like it's painful. It's like, it's embarrassing. But then afterward, it's like, it's like LeBron watched, you know what I mean? Like even that game after he loses, he's like, that was a great game. You know, he's probably a little upset, but more upset than Murr would be. But like, there's something about like, he loves the game of Impractical Jokers. He loves the coming up with punishments and like getting people that he's like, oh, you guys got me good.
There's a lot of well done guys. He was saying quite a lot during that. Yeah, man. I mean, you can't do this to all four jokers. I'll say that. I don't think you could do this to all of them, right?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think here's the thing. You are allowed to refuse a punishment. The idea is that you would have to quit the show.
You have to quit the show, right?
Right. Yeah. But I think that they know, you know, they know that Murr's not going to quit the show for something like this. Yeah. You know, I think skydiving was worse for him. There's other ones that were like definitely that in his mind were worse. And this one, it's oddly enough, like, I think Sal would quit the show.
I don't even think it would be funny if it was one of the other jokers.
It's
like,
true.
Because it's Murr, it's so hilarious.
Yeah,
I agree.
He's a great sport.
And just the idea that Melissa has to take it out. Like, you know, originally we were like, well, Melissa should put it in. And then she was like, well, no, because like, as much as I'm a nurse, like I, you know, there's a certain amount of training that you need to do that. And I'm nervous, right. Like there's cameras rolling, but she was like, oh, but I'll take it out.
Yeah. So we get Dr. K, who wisely does not use his whole last name in this. I think he's looking to keep his board certification. So just Dr. K comes in, puts in the catheter on Murr. And I mean, that moment is bizarre. We saw all of it unedited. I mean, we didn't see the catheter go in, but like just the guy's reactions, it was a while. Like they felt bad. Like you can tell even in the cut, he feels legitimately bad for Murr. And then Gatto's
making eye contact.
Yeah, make eye contact. I think just trying to lighten the mood there a bit, because it was like, I think there was a thought that went through Q's mind of like, what have we done?
I'm sure there's going to be people who are like, this is crazy. This is too far. And I get that, but I'm also like, hey, you know, it's season 9. We gotta go for it. And when I say go for it, I mean Murr's penis. I love that when we told Dr. Frank, we were like, hey, Dr. Frank, we have a punishment that we want to use you again for. And he's like, oh, sure, well, of course. And we're like, we want to give Murr a catheter. And he's like,
no.
Wait, you're not serious, right? And we're like, yeah, we are. And he's like, oh, okay. I don't think we're at that level. I think we're past the level where I could do that.
Right, because they're good friends. They go to dinners together and like hang out. I think he was probably at Murr's real bachelor party, right? So it's like he doesn't want to like ruin the friendship.
But a prostate exam, no problem.
He'll do it all the time. I mean, that's, you know, he's doing his due diligence as a good doctor.
I hope that you guys got as much enjoyment out of when Dr. Frank popped up and put that glove on as I did in the moment. When we were watching that, I mean, I lost my mind. It was one of the funniest things. When it happened, I was like, that's the thing to beat in the show's history. We were dying laughing. I wish they left in the raw, like, of how long the guys couldn't compose themselves.
It was off the charts. In case, like we talked about earlier, like he's just waiting underneath, like whatever the hedges or something.
Yeah.
And then he just hears like, go, go, go. Here's his cue and pops up. He's a doctor. He's not a comedian. And he's like, does the funniest thing in the episode. It's so great.
It's something out of like a Naked Gun or like Airplane movie. It's like so farce.
Yeah. It was great when he popped up, man.
Yeah. And then just like the glove, the shot, that was the perfect shot. Like, you know, sometimes you film these, sometimes you hope that it's going to look the way you want it to. And just like the way that it looked in the camera was so funny. Sal, like they all lost it, but it's so funny. So so that was filmed at Murr's house. Yep. It's hard to understand because there's a zip line, but Murr put a zip line into his house. And now if you watch Dinner Party, you've seen like, you know, he's got like his little Murr farm and he's got his pool and he's got a zip line. He moved out of the suburbs, or he moved out of the city and past the suburbs and got himself a few acres.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, he's really setting up like a little like fantasy land for himself over there. He's got the zip line. It's kind of like Home Alone.
Yeah, he's definitely Michael Jackson, and he's got his Neverland Ranch.
I mean, he deserves it, man. He's been punished every day of his life for the past 9 years. He needs a break from it all. Gets to go home and just relax. And really, it seemed like the only place that would have been safe. And even now, it's no longer safe. The guys are breaking into his backyard and messing with him.
It's funny that it's at his house, right? Because like, you know, imagine if you will, James, Phoebe takes a catheter out of your urethra. Sure. And then the crew leaves. And then it's just the two of you again. And you're like, that was weird, huh? That was fun. Yeah. What do you want to do for dinner? Like, when do you go back to regular stuff after that? You know,
I would just be asking, like, does it still work? Like, what happens now?
Like, yeah. Can I pee normal?
But it was.
Case, was that the first thing we done after quarantine? Was it the first?
I think there actually was another one that's going to be coming out that I think was in the trailer, which we'll reveal. I think, right? If you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. We have another one coming up that was also.
It's
so funny. We have so many secrets and stuff that we have to keep from the run. It's like, and then from like the viewers, it's like things like, because you know, we don't shoot sequentially all the time. So it's like, we always like are wary of like spilling the beans. I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
also, I'll say this. We hear this all the time. Like, and we agree with you. What's with the blurs in the beginning of the show? You know who's getting punished half the time. This one I thought was harder than most, but like last week, it was definitely Gatto. It was like Gatto is like his face is blurred, but he's wearing his wedding ring. He's like talking like himself. He's wearing, you know, what is it? The lavender shirt of love. What's he call that shirt? Yeah.
It's the lavender shirt of love. Yeah. I think it's for new fans or, you know, not, I guess there's no such thing as a new fan. I mean, I guess that would come after watching a few episodes, new viewers.
Right.
It's for a new viewer who would, and I think it's built into this tease factor. Like right. When you're watching something, like when Chopped is like, and you know, and whose dish is on the chopping block and they pick it up and it goes to commercial, right? There's something to like, oh, I actually want to stick around past commercials to watch this. And not that there's a commercial break, but you're like, well, I want to stay to the end because I want to see who that is. But once you're like, you've watched like, you know, a handful of episodes, you know, their body types and stuff, and you could probably sniff it out. But I also think it's history. It's like, if we started just letting it out there, people would be mad at that too.
I know. It's just like, is there a better way to do it? Can we completely blur them? I don't know.
I would lose the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would lose the whole, I think it goes warning, you know, and it does the intro and then it goes, and it shows the guys and then we're into our first challenge and then like let's just like more room for the funny stuff.
You know, I don't disagree because it's like how do you tease the catheter punishment without like do you just show what a catheter is like just like it's like a commercial like hey for like $9.99 like just like pops up on the screen like the product itself and it's like which Joker is getting this like I maybe you know that anyway that's a small gripe I have with like the beginning of the show. It's like for the fans that are like I don't want to know who gets punished to the end, I feel like 50 to 90% of the time they can guess it.
I would say the show should be like this. We got warning and then we got, you know, and then it's just the rest of it is just Impractical Insider.
Behind the scenes.
It's just all behind the scenes, you know, and no commercials at all.
Yeah.
And now
that's been replaced by the LCI footage we talked about before.
Yeah, it's all LCI. We should make a show that's just called LCI. Law and Order LCI. But fun fact is I was just talking about that, you know, that the Joker's the da-na-na-na intro, right?
Yeah.
So the theme song of our podcast is the original Mission Uncomfortable, which, you know, some of the fans know that that was the original name of Joker's. Up until, you know, I'd say we've edited the original eight episodes of this, of our show, Practical Joker Season 1, had this theme song in it.
The new one? The new theme music? The one?
Yeah, not the stuff on top of it, but just the music. That's like, you know, like, like that, whatever our, you know, our theme song is. That was the one that I pitched because Sal like asked some friends to submit songs and this is for the pilot and I submitted it. The four guys loved it. That was the first thing I did for the show. And then Sal was like, do you want to come on, you know, as a, you know, in the capacity of like a producer and help out. And I was like driving vans in Season 1, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, it was time to switch up the theme. Let's go back to the original. And that was the theme that we had from the, you know, they edited a lot of episodes with it. And then eventually I think True TV was like, let's try out this other one. I'm glad we did in a way. It's iconic.
That's cool, man. I didn't know that the theme song was from Mission Uncomfortable. That's great.
Yeah. It almost made it to air. Like it was, so the way it worked in Season 1 was we had eight episodes that were greenlit by True TV. And in the middle of filming the eight, like around like, you know, we were halfway done with it, or even maybe a little bit more for those eight episodes. True TV ordered a back order, which was like, you know, we loved. It was a big celebration. They ordered another eight. So we had 16 episodes in the first season, and we were very excited about that. And as we were editing it, like, and they were, you know, evaluating it, they made other little changes. And one of the ones they wanted was I think they wanted a theme song that had more stems that were really, you know, like little elements that they could pull in and out for different sections. Whereas mine was a pretty crude, just recording that I did on my own. Like I do all of my music. And this was something that was like factory made, you know, or whatever. So I wasn't heartbroken. I feel like everything on that you make for TV is going to get cut at some point. Don't you feel that way, James?
Oh, 100%. And actually, Casey, I think we can talk about this. We can talk about it, right? Because it's airing. Right now, Joe Gatto is going online and doing a little thing called Good Day Mates. We'll see how that plays out. Maybe it's part of Impractical Jokers. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
But like, so if you go to the website, you might be able to catch it. If this podcast goes up Thursday night, like in like the wee hours of the morning after the episode, you might be able to catch Thursday, but you can definitely catch Friday, 2:30 a.m. Eastern time. You go to gooddaymates.net and
you could be a part of Impractical Joker history. If you're listening to this like a couple weeks after the episode aired, you might have missed your chance. You missed your window, mates. Yeah. But that's a fun little thing that you're telling people about, James.
Yeah, they can go on, they can check it out. And you can see what Joe's doing. If you've been watching, you would have watched him read some traffic, some weather, some local stories, play some didgeridoo, all down under. The thing I was going to say though, Case, was you made a really catchy song for Good Day Mates.
Oh yeah.
That is, it was another song that I think just isn't, it's not going to be anywhere.
But, I got to give credit where it's due though, because Joe Ambergio actually made the music. So, Joe and I have been working together forever we've been making a bunch of songs this last season, and there's other ones you're going to hear that he made, but I did the voice on it. I like added my VO, which is very expensive. He had to pay me a lot for that.
Right.
But Joe Ambergio made the music, and it is great music. We had a bunch of alts too.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a fun Men at Work, Land Down Under parody, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. Can we throw that onto this
podcast? You want to play that? You want to play the wake up song?
Yeah. Can you play it?
Yeah. Here? I think we probably can. I'll make sure to send it along. And if we can play it, drop it here.
Get up to take it to the land of Australia. Talking weather and traffic, let me tell ya.
Get up, Joe.
Outback Steakhouse, Nicole Kidman, Kangaroo, Koala, Hugh Jackman.
All right. And that's the song. And I think we're out of time.
Yeah. We're out. Yeah. Again, check out Good Day Mates.
Yeah.
Not good. It's GOOD, not like good day. We couldn't get that one. So it's gooddaymates.net. And check it out. And you can watch Joe Gatto at 2:30 in the morning Eastern time this week.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. Make sure to follow us. I'm at Casey Jost on pretty much everything.
I'm at Mick James McCarthy.
And I'm at Shay Starchild.
That's right, at Shay Starchild. And if you have any questions, make sure to hashtag Jokers Podcast. And thank you so much for listening. Very excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Good day, mates.
The official Impractical Joker Podcast.